For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday and another edition of Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I am Tony Columbo. My partner Katie Fitzpatrick is on maternity leave, so Stell is with me again today. Great to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, Tony.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. We haven't heard anything from Katie yet.
Not yet. Still waiting for the news. Could be any day now. Yesterday was the due date, so we're in the whatever you call it, ground zero.
Holding pattern.
We're in the red zone.
Yeah, we're in the red zone.
There you go. Yes. Yep.
Checking the hotline.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we will pass along any information about Katie and that baby girl as soon as it arrives. We are all excited to meet the newest edition of the News Talk STL family. We have got a packed show for you today. As I've been mentioning, you know, we're going to not only have our regular rotation of guests that you're used to here on the show, but there's also going to be some of our sort of regular contributors, family members here at News Talk STL that are going to be helping me out. You'll hear on a more regular basis for the next few months while Katie is out. And Wednesdays are always a great fun show because it is the day that we open up Close's cabinet and take a peek inside the mind of a madman. We talked to our friend Mark Close from KC95. Today, he is unavailable, so we are actually going to do a Cook's cabinet. Paul Cook is going to join us. So Wednesday is always a great time, you know, for that fun conversation. And also today, and I think at least for the next few weeks on Wednesdays, we are going to get kind of an election preview conversation with our friend Rodney Boyd, the insider's insider, is going to be joining us the next few weeks on Wednesdays as we lead up towards the election. And also today, and I think for the next few Wednesdays moving forward, we're also going to talk to our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Wire. So that is some heavy hitters on a Wednesday. We have got you covered. We will talk to Paul Cook in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Virginia Cruda from the Daily Wire here in about 40 minutes. And in the next segment, about 10, 15 minutes from now, we will talk to Rodney Boyd. So we have got you covered top to bottom, less than 3 weeks until Election Day. That is absolutely incredible. Just a quick reminder about election coverage. We will have you covered top to bottom, that leading up to the election, after the election, and on election night. We will be here with you live in studio all that evening until all of the important races are over with. So we'll be bringing you live up to the second results and analysis as everything unfolds that night. So make sure you are listening to us for your election coverage, and also leading up to and that night and afterwards. We'll also have you covered on newstalkstl.com and all of our social media platforms as well. So nowhere else will you find better election coverage than right here on News Talk STL. We've got you covered on all the bases. So speaking of the elections, diving into some of the headlines of the day, the president and the White House has pledged to reinstate Roe versus Wade if Democrats maintain control over Congress after the midterms. Yesterday, during a press briefing, Karine Jean-Pierre said President Biden would move to codify Roe v. Wade after the midterms if Democrats maintain control over the U.S. House and Senate. She said, quote, "The president has been very clear on this piece, which is that the way that we make Roe into law is to make sure that we have legislation and we codify it," Jean-Pierre said. After another question on the issue, she added, quote, "This is what the president is going to say. We have to codify Roe to get those protections back. Remember, this is almost 50 years of constitutional rights that we had taken away by the Supreme Court." The president himself first announced the plans to codify Roe after the midterms in a speech in Washington earlier in the day yesterday, where he said, quote, "In these midterm elections, it is so critical to elect more Democrat senators to the United States Senate and more Democrats to keep control of the House of Representatives. If we do that, here's the promise I make to you and the American people. The first bill I will send to the Congress will be to codify Roe v. Wade." Biden added that if he that if it passes, he plans to sign the bill in January on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade's original announcement. So we've talked about how, you know, the focus of the Democrats, the focus of their message. And one of the big focuses, Stell, and I've got some other stories that are going to that we'll get into as the show goes on, that kind of point to maybe the Democrats do not have their finger on the pulse of the American electorate, because as we've talked about in recent shows, the abortion issue and some other issues typically, you know, revolving around either identity politics or school policies and things like that seem to be where the Democrats are putting their focus. And poll after poll shows that that is not what is important to the American people.
I think it's a huge mistake.
Abortion is like sixth or seventh down the line, and almost consistently in every poll, with the economy and gas prices and the border and so many other things taking priority for voters across the country. But that doesn't seem to be where the president and the Democrats are focusing.
And I totally agree, and I hope that they stay on that that road, because I think it'll take them over the cliff.
Yes, I
agree. Just my own personal opinion.
I agree. I don't know what they're seeing. It's not like they don't. It's not like they don't have the resources to have, you know, hire the best pollsters and research companies and political consultants and all of that. So it seems baffling that they continue to go down a path that has almost been proven to this point to not be where the majority of Americans put their put at the top of the list of their concerns.
I think every poll that I've seen, and you know, most of them are weighted to the Democratic side. Mm-hmm. There aren't a whole lot of them that are weighted to the Independent and Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
They have abortion listed as fourth, fifth, or sixth on the list, and usually it's fifth or sixth.
Yeah. So you wonder why they think that this is the winning strategy.
Yeah.
And they continue to focus on it so much.
I don't know what they're looking at.
I don't
either. To be honest with you. And if they want to throw accusations around, then I say you guys are life deniers. If you guys want to use the word denier, and I know the New York Times now uses skeptic for election deniers.
We've changed a lot of words recently.
So, yeah, they decided to go with skeptic as of last weekend.
Then we've changed a lot of words.
You guys are life deniers then.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to call you pro-death.
I'm
pro-life. You guys are pro-death.
Right. It's a baffling. Maybe they just know that they can't win when it comes to the economy or the border. Like,
exactly.
They're losing issues, so they can't even bring them up.
Exactly.
So that's why they try to dig in these other areas. Speaking of polls that kind of echo all of these things that we're talking about, there's more new polls out that show Republicans are likely to flip key metrics in the 2022 midterm elections. Polling for the 2022 generic congressional vote, a closely watched indicator for midterm performance, just made a dramatic shift. So if you guys remember, a couple months ago, we were reporting on various polls and seeing different numbers sort of consistently. And here's where I stand on polls. I do not put a whole lot of stock in certainly individual polls. I will start to pay more attention and give a little bit more credibility when multiple polls put out by multiple organizations around the same period of time all show very consistent results. That's why I like the Real Clear Politics website. I like how they aggregate all recent polls and put them together, because I think that, you know, I think that that is tells a little bit more of a true story than any one poll. Now, you don't want to bet anything on polls. Take them factually, certainly by any measure. But when you see over and over consistency coming out of different polls put out by different organizations, then you start to kind of get a picture of where people are at. So as I mentioned, polling for the 2022 generic congressional vote, a closely watched indicator for midterm performance, just made a dramatic shift. If you remember a couple months ago, those polls were showing that the president's approval and Democrats' approval rating had sort of bottomed out and even bounced back a bit. They were still terrible. President's approval ratings have always been bad. But they had bounced back up into like the low 40s instead of being in like the mid to low 30s, which were historically bad numbers.
There was a little bump there.
So it looked like they had sort of stopped the bleeding and bumped things back up a little bit when the gas prices started to go back up a little bit. Certainly, you know, they have not recovered, not even close, but you know, and there were certain like the student loan payback plan and some other things had given the Democrats a little bit of momentum, or at least, like I said, stop the bleeding. And that was kind of the conversation in late August and through September. And,
oh, the marijuana issue
until
too.
Yes, exactly. That's another one. Yeah. So, you know, that was kind of the conversation that maybe they had sort of stopped the red wave. I think, you know, everybody has the general consensus that that Republicans have, you know, a huge opportunity to flip both houses has always been there. But just how big of a shift that would be was starting to come into question as it looked like the Democrats had sort of righted the ship a bit. Well, now, just like I said, under 3 weeks away from the midterm elections, Republicans have managed to gain back that momentum and maybe even increased on it, showing numbers that they have not shown in months, according to Real Clear Politics. To further prove that narrative, a New York Times Siena College poll was just released, and it shows Republicans in a 4-point lead, 49% to 45% over Democrats when voters were asked who they favored to represent them in Congress. Just a month ago, the same poll showed that Democrats held a 1-point edge over Republicans. So a huge shift. And again, not in just one poll, but in multiple polls that we have seen come out here recently. And Fox News commentator Jessica Tarlov, who is a Democrat strategist, echoed what has been sort of the main commentary from experts on this that have been reporting on it over the last couple of days as these poll numbers have come out, when she said yesterday, quote, "I never thought Democrats would hold the House, but expected a slim GOP majority. Now it's looking like it could be dozens of seats." So looks like now, just less than 3 weeks away from the election, that whatever positivity or, you know, stopping of the bleeding the president or the Democrats did in the last month or two has gone by the wayside, and people and the numbers have shifted back to showing the likelihood again of a red wave in 3 weeks when voters hit the ballot boxes. So that's going to be an interesting thing to keep an eye on. It's going to be an interesting conversation, too. Tomorrow, we're going to have our White House correspondent, Christian Daytok, from the Washington Examiner, who is there at the White House every day in those press briefings, and is a tremendous asset to this show. He's going to be on with us tomorrow at about this time. So make sure you are here for that, because we'll be talking to him about these issues and more, of course.
You know, another indicator to me?
Yeah, tell me.
Personally, is the Democratic Party pulling funding for races in areas that I thought were mainly Democratic strongholds. Mm-hmm. And now they're pulling money back and shifting it to other places where they think maybe they still have a chance.
That's a very good sign of how desperate
times are
For the party. So going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And we will talk to Rodney Boyd about some of these poll numbers and more as we get closer and closer to Election Day here in the state of Missouri and across the country. We are going to talk to our old friend Rodney Boyd, the Insider's Insider, in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie, sans Katie, here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, no word yet from the Fitzpatrick family, but we are all anxiously awaiting the arrival of Katie and David's new baby. Katie is on maternity leave. She will be out for the next couple of months, 2-3 months. And in the meantime, I'll be here with you every day along with Stell. And, of course, our long list of great guests, including the gentleman who joins me on the phone now, our old friend, the Insider's Insider, Rodney Boyd. Rodney, it's a exciting time to be covering politics, isn't it? Oh, do we have him?
He should be there.
Rodney Boyd. Let's see. Stand by as we attempt to make the connection.
Try it again.
With Rodney. Hello, Rodney. You got me now?
Guess we lost him there for a moment.
Yeah.
I'll get back in touch with him here.
Yeah, go ahead and hang up and try to reconnect, and we will see if we can get a hold of see if we can get Rodney on the phone here. Definitely want to talk to him about these new poll numbers that we were discussing in that last segment that have sort of flipped back to similar numbers to what we saw earlier in the year when people were talking about a red wave. And then suddenly it looked like the Democrats had sort of righted the ship and maybe, you know, had stymied that a bit. Brand new numbers out from multiple different polling sources are showing that those numbers have switched dramatically, and it looks like the Republicans are have an opportunity to not only flip the United States House, but take back possibly dozens of seats. I wanted to give you a quick update on a story that we have been all over for the last few days, and that is the situation at Janna Elementary School. It looks like students are going to begin virtual learning after that radioactive waste was found and reported on earlier this week. And it looks like their last day of school is going to be this Friday, and virtual learning is going to start out at Janna starting next week as they determine how they are going to address that issue. So we'll get more details on that story a little bit later on in the show, but I think we have reconnected with Rodney Boyd. Are you there?
Tony, can you hear me this time?
I can hear you, sir. Great to talk with you.
Yeah, I could hear you loud and clear last time. You guys couldn't hear me, so that was a little bit of a weird thing. But I'm glad we can hear one another at this point.
Yes. Sometimes there's just a ghost in the machine. You know how it goes.
Yes, sir. I was saying before how I feel like it's a bit normal for us to talk about the excitement and the anticipation of an upcoming election. I think you and I have been covering probably now at least maybe 20 of them over the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, and as we say every cycle, I mean, the impact and the import of all of them is extremely important. So absolutely, here we go again in about 3 weeks.
So as I mentioned, these new poll numbers show that any momentum that was lost by Republicans over the last couple of months after it seemed like the president and Democrats had bottomed out as far as, you know, as they had gone as low as they can go with their approval ratings. And there were certain things like the student loan repayment bill and other things that sort of bounced them back a little bit. Gas prices got a little bit better, and it seemed like they, you know, were making up a little bit of ground and maybe turning that red wave into, you know, maybe not something as severe. But now it's looking like that has once again shifted and is in favor of Republicans again, with now just less than 3 weeks to go before the election. That's the national picture. How do you see the local picture in the state of Missouri as far as what we can expect after these elections in November?
I think that the politics in Missouri has stayed a pretty consistent, you know, red leaning trend across the state. And even with the national trend sort of being a little bit more sporadic, Missouri has still been consistent about, you know, what they're concerned about. The economy, I think, is still number one. And that means everything that goes into the economy, what has impacted people's wallets, what impacts people's local communities, the economic situation. And Missouri voters across the state writ large have tended to trust their instinct to vote statewide Republicans in office. The Senate race is going to be an interesting referendum on the bigger ideas, right? What does the impact of the Roe decision and Missouri, the Missouri state position on it in terms of preemptively passing legislation. What does that look like in this turnout? Now, you know, I've seen some polling that shows Eric Schmidt still has a respectable lead in the race. And the question is, what's happening on the ground? When you go county by county into some of the larger counties, St. Louis, Jackson, are there sort of independent voters, because the red and the blue is pretty much set in those counties, or independent voters who kind of vote their issues, their politics, their feelings? Are they trending toward a Trudy Bush Valentine? Are they going to go with Eric Schmidt? And it seems today the advantage still trends toward Eric Schmidt. Mm-hmm. But you just said something that I want to highlight. 3 weeks in this political cycle is a tremendous amount of time from this perspective, Tony. We don't yet know what issues will emerge in the next day or 21 days that will cause people to sort of recalibrate, reassess what they're thinking about doing. And when I say people, I specifically am talking about that independent voter that is swayable. That demographic isn't the largest, but when you're within, you know, these 5, 6, 7 point margins, that independent vote becomes very, very important. And you see it across the state in the larger counties, the sort of suburban counties, the Jacksons, the St. Louis, to some degree, the green counties. But you're going to see it play out even more so in like the St. Louis County executive's race, which is only in St. Louis County. Mm-hmm. And you're going to even see some vestiges of what people are thinking about in the city Board of Aldermen race. And in that race is within the Democratic Party, but you've got two very different kinds of candidates in Alderman Jack Cotier and Alderwoman Megan Green vying for that same Democratic vote, but from different perspectives. So there's a lot of potential, potential shifting in the last couple of weeks for that independent voter. But we have to see what messaging does. And this is when people spend all their money, as we're starting to see, on various ads, various mediums, TV, print, radio, social media, are going to just be inundated with people trying to say, hey, here I am. I'm closer to your value system. Vote for me.
Ronnie, one of the other things that we've seen sort of develop across the country over the last couple of years is that places that are traditionally Democratic strongholds have sort of reached their limit with how far they will follow this Democratic Party, especially the wing that is pushing it more and more progressive and more to the left. And that's created an opportunity where we've seen some seats in some areas and, you know, zip codes and things like that across the country that maybe weren't an opportunity for Republicans in the past that are this year. Is that happening in the state of Missouri in any big way, or is it different, or politics different here than, you know, that national picture?
Tony, I think the best example is what we saw two or three of the last cycles in Jefferson County. You know, if you were to go back 15 years ago, Jefferson County was kind of a strong union leaning blue county. But over the last 15, 20 years, because of what you said, people not being so comfortable with some of the ideas that they were having to support on the Democratic side, literally made a hard shift into an either independent, conservative-leaning column, or flipped over to Republicans. And that took that Jefferson County group of folks in our basically political adult lifetime, you and mine, into a hard red. And you see that in various pockets of rural Missouri, where they were the last vestiges of the old, what they call the old blue dog Democrats, where people just said, you know, I can't go that far. I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to vote, either switch to become a Republican or vote. What we haven't seen is that tide turning in those areas. And now you've got, as we talked about just a second ago, within the city of St. Louis, just an out-and-out difference between the progressive socialist-type Democrat and the traditional Democrat within the city of St. Louis. And so I think you're going to see some more challenges from within the Democratic Party in the cities and in some of the suburban electoral races that's going to further make people have to decide, can I go as far as the Democrat progressive platform wants me to go, or what do I do? Do I switch to independent, or do I stay away from those primaries altogether? We're actually living through that right now. I mean, it's going to be very, very interesting to see the outcome of a few of these races around the city of St. Louis and the country, where you actually have known what I would call, for lack of a better phrase, traditional Democrats going head-to-head with Democrats who identify as socialist, left-leaning, more ideological, social agenda-minded folks. Bernie Sanders types, if you will. So that's what's happening now. But what you're not seeing in our state, Missouri, is the reemergence of a conservative Democrat that has been able or being able to pull their not so long ago dependent voter back into the Democratic column. We're not seeing that. We're seeing just the opposite.
So when I look at what is going to be on the ballot, particularly here in the state of Missouri, in a few weeks, you know, you look at the races that are going to be like the big media spectacles, and you think of the Senate race, and here in the St. Louis area, of course, as you mentioned, you think of the county executive race. But I think we all have not a pretty good idea of how that's going to go, but we have a pretty good feeling about who's got the, you know, who's got the momentum, who has the advantage, and things like that. One issue that I can't figure out what I think if it's got momentum, if it's not got momentum, is the marijuana legalization bill. I think that is going to be a big topic of discussion on election night and in the days leading up to it. Do you have any sense of the momentum behind that amendment and its possibility of winning, or is it as much of a toss up to you as it is to me?
I think there is momentum towards the recreational adoption of cannabis or marijuana in Missouri, which follows a national trend, which also follows on the heels of the recent success of the medicinal marijuana. What's happened, though, is once again, when you do these measures or these initiatives by referendum or ballot measures, so many things, Tony, get buried into these referendum statutes, if you will, or amendments, that there's confusion, and people can point to various aspects of the referendum that causes people who support generally the idea, almost in a libertarian spirit, of wanting to have the right to access cannabis without. But they don't necessarily like all of these variables and these micro businesses and some of these other terms that are in there, and they cloud the issue. So you've got a general consensus that people are okay, kind of libertarian, hey, get out of my business. But conversely, what is in this thing? What is all this nuanced language? What are we creating? And we've had to go back, whether it was for Clean Missouri or other issues, and really revote referendum because we didn't ultimately like or couldn't stomach what was buried or contained within the text. So I think that, A, general consensus is a straight-up recreational cannabis provision would pass. It's passed in over 28 or 25 other states. But when you get into the weeds, people who are asking the voters to slow down and take a look at what's in this thing are muddying or causing people to have some pause. And I think that's what's interfering with this clear, well, people are for or against this particular policy, because it's not that clear.
So, Roddy, unfortunately, we are just about out of time, but the good news is that at least for the next few weeks, every Wednesday leading up to the election, we're going to be checking back in with Roddy Boyd. So I very much look forward to continuing this conversation, and would just like to put a bow on that, on the marijuana bill. I agree with you completely that the overall consensus, the momentum is behind legalization. I just can't tell if it's behind this particular bill, and I think that's one of the things that you and I and others will be talking about as we get closer and closer to election day. Before we let you go today, just a couple minutes left here, Rodney, are there any other particular races or issues that you are particularly focused on?
I'm trying to get my some perspective on how the St. Louis County voters are receiving the entrance of Mark Montavani at the late stages in the county executive race. He's not a new candidate. He's run three times before. What's new about this particular candidacy is he's running as a Republican. In the past two times they saw him on the ballot, it was a Democrat. And he's explained that. He's explained how he was approached and why he's running as a Republican. I'm still trying to assess how, you know, the residents of St. Louis County who are concerned about that office, how they're receiving him. And is he going to be able in the next 3 weeks to sort of really steal the typical reserve of an incumbent to run from a pretty strong perspective and convince people that he is an alternative that they want? That's the race that I'm the most intrigued by. And it just kind of happened relatively quickly because he wasn't involved in any of the primary elections, because we saw what happened with the Republican primary. That's a race that's got my attention, and we'll be talking more about that as we get to the next couple of weeks.
For sure. There's never a lack of things to talk about, and what a unique mess, I'll say, was created there with after primary night and the events that unfolded, and just makes that county executive seat all the more of a media darling in a sensational race that we will be, of course, watching very closely leading up to the election. As I mentioned, Rodney's going to join us next Wednesday, and at least for the next few Wednesdays as we get closer and closer to the election. So definitely look forward to those conversations, my friend. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care, Tom.
You bet. That is the Insider's Insider, Rodney Boyd. Great stuff from him, and so happy that he is a part of the team here, and also going to be pitching in a little bit more than usual as we lead up to the election. Looking forward to having those conversations with Rodney every Wednesday here on Columbo and Katie. All right. Speaking of another conversation that I am very much looking forward to have, our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Wire is going to join us here in just a moment. I want to talk to her about some of these same issues facing our area and across the country. And also, Virginia, being like one of many of our listeners, an Illinois resident, want to talk to her about some of the issues happening there, as we just saw a debate between Pritzker and Bailey, and how that governor race in the state of Illinois is shaping up, and some other issues facing the area. We will talk to Virginia Crude about in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Katie started her maternity leave this week, so I am here with producer Stell. In just a few minutes, it being Wednesday, typically we open up Close's Cabinet just after 3 o'clock and talk to our friend Mark Close from KC95, but Mark is unavailable today, so it's going to be Cook's Cabinet. We're going to talk to our buddy Paul Cook in a few minutes. Looking forward to that. And joining us on the phone now, as I mentioned, is our friend Virginia Cruda from The Daily Wire. Virginia, thank you for your time this afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I am good. How are you?
I am well. It's crazy times. I can't believe it's less than 3 weeks away,
right,
to Election Day. Just talking to Rodney Boyd in that last segment about some of the issues across the country and in the state of Missouri, and you being a resident and one of, like many of our listeners in Illinois, there's a lot happening there as well, particularly with this governor's race that typically, as we were talking...
Yeah.
As we were talking with Rodney and about some other stories recently, there are some of these races across the country that, typically you figure are just going to go one way. And you look at the state of Illinois and you think, it's just, there's always going to be a Democrat in charge. But the Democratic Party has done such a good job at chasing so many voters away that maybe there's a chance to flip some of these seats and some of these governor races and things like that. How are you feeling about that race and maybe some of the other things happening across the state of Illinois?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Statewide polling right now has Pritzker with, according to NBC, a commanding lead, right? But if you watched any of the debate last night, there was Darren Bailey was really talking about crime. He was talking about education. He was talking about inflation and the issues that the average person in Illinois is concerned with, because the average person in every state is concerned with these things, right? And Pritzker's response was, well, Darren Bailey hangs out with racists and homophobes, chief among them Donald Trump. So if you watch the debate, there are a couple takeaways. One, J.B. Pritzker is talking to the teachers union and the teachers union only.
And the city of Chicago, probably only.
some of the city of Chicago, right? But he's also not running for governor. He's running for the Democratic nomination in 2024.
Yeah,
he is not running for governor right now because he thinks it's a lock.
Yeah,
realistically, he should not be debating right now. If you want to talk political strategy,
right,
he should not have debated Darren Bailey because it cannot make him look better.
Right.
The only thing it did was put him on a national stage and say, see, He's willing to debate. He's willing to have a conversation. And so this will be used to bolster his credibility and build his credit with the left when he goes into the 2024 election cycle and tries to run against Newsom, say, for for the Democratic nomination.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
He doesn't believe he has a problem beating Bailey.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Virginia, because that has been, this has been fascinating to me and something I've talked about, you know, over the last few weeks, that suddenly J.B. Pritzker has emerged as being like a front runner or in the discussion as somebody who could replace Joe Biden on the presidential ballot for the Democrats. And he, a long line of Democrats, as you mentioned, Gavin Newsom, J.B. Pritzker. We've seen people like Beto O'Rourke, people who are struggling in their own, in their local states or local areas. You know, Gavin Newsom just faced a recall election. Beto O'Rourke can't win an election in Texas. J.B. Pritzker, whether or not he wins this election in November, he's certainly not as popular as he once was, and his stock is on the decline, not the incline. And Pete Buttigieg, he's terribly unpopular in South Bend, Indiana, but all of these names are the ones that are like ascending the Democratic ladder. It's incredible to me that, like, the more unpopular you are at home, the better chances you have at being the next presidential nominee for the Democratic Party.
Well, Pete Buttigieg, actually, it's a weird needle that he's threading, because he is not popular in South Bend, Indiana, for sure. He's not popular, I don't think, statewide in Indiana. But he is popular among Democrats. And the what's really funny, you could, there was an article that came out a couple, maybe last week, I think, that was talking about why Democratic candidates want Pete Buttigieg to campaign for them, and they don't want specifically Kamala Harris.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were saying that, well, because, you know, everything she says is under scrutiny from the right, and Pete Buttigieg doesn't really get that as much. And I'm like, well, for one, that's because he can string a sentence together. But, you know, that would be the major one. But the other thing is that Pete Buttigieg, and Obama has talked about this recently. He was on Pod Save America, which is the podcast that, you know, Jon Favreau and his other, a couple other of his staffers run this podcast. And he was on the podcast last week, and he was talking about how Democrats need to get away from cancel culture, and they need to, you know, because America likes a good redemption story. And if you take away the possibility of redemption ever happening, which is what cancel culture does, then you can't have that. You can't have a comeback story, because no one's allowed to come back. And he was saying, you know, I understand that why people are kind of jumping on this bandwagon, but you can't do it if you want to keep winning. But he also was talking about Democrats, kind of a penchant for being killjoys and being a little too pedantic. And he, the way he put it was, you know, I lost people's attention when I got too professorial. Like anybody believed that he was qualified to be a professor of anything in the first place. But the idea that we're talking down to you, we're telling you what to think, we're telling you what's okay to believe, it's a turnoff. It's a huge turnoff, not just among Democrats. It's a turnoff to everybody, but specifically to independents, because they value that independent streak that I think for myself. You don't tell me who I am, what I believe, or whatever else. And
nobody likes to be talked down to. Nobody likes that, that condescending attitude, pat you on the head. I know better than you do. I know how to take care of you more than you do. And it seems like that has been
why it is that Democrats really, really embrace this.
They have been.
Pete Buttigieg could be their king.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that's why they're focused so much on Pete Buttigieg, because he does, because They like it when he talks down to Republicans. What they don't understand is that eventually he'll talk down to them too if they don't fall in line.
Yeah, it's not an attractive look at all. Virginia, no. I hate to cut you off. We're talking to our friend Virginia Kruta from the Daily Wire. As I mentioned, we are going to be hearing a lot from our various contributors, especially here on Columbo and Katie, helping me out while Katie's on maternity leave, and Virginia's going to be one of those. So I am so happy that you are going to be helping me out and on the show more often over the next few weeks, and look forward to continuing this conversation. Only about a minute to go. I just wanted to ask you this one last thing for this week. As it stands right now, one day shy of 3 weeks away from the election, these new poll numbers have come out that show that the Republicans have regained their momentum. Do you feel like the party is, the Republican Party in general, is back on track for the quote unquote red wave as it stands right now?
I'd like to get out Vic's buzzer real quick. I don't like doing because, and I wrote an article actually for News Talk at Seattle several months ago saying, hey, you know, Republicans are really, really good at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And the way to do that is to say, oh, we've got momentum. And then you get complacent. But I will say this, and this is another poll that you'll find this interesting because you join me in the land of Gen Xerhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about this poll, a New York Times Siena poll that just came out this week, showed a dramatic change in Gen X specifically leaning toward Republican, while all of the others were pretty evenly split. And the reason for this, somebody's like, why is that? Why is that? I'm like, well, if you know anything about Gen Xers, they don't like being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's exactly right.
Like being told what to think.
Virginia Kruta from the Daily Wire, thank you so much. As Virginia mentioned, you can not only read her articles at the Daily Wire, but you can also read her stuff at newstalkstl.com, and you can hear her as a regular contributor here all the time. And we look forward to talking to you again next week, Virginia. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
You bet. That is Virginia Kruta from the Daily Wire. It is Wednesday. Typically, we open up Close's Cabin at 3:05. Mark is unavailable, so we're going to talk to our buddy Paul Cook in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.